I'd take some any color. If you want to turn in your Bibles, I'm going to look at a bunch of scripture. I'm going to quote most of it, or have it written in my notes. In the book of Matthew, chapter 15, if you want to turn there, we'll kind of use that as our text. February 14th, this Thursday, is Valentine's Day, as all of you know. It's a time of expressing love. There is a couple of legends that goes back to ministers who gave great sacrifice to help people get married when the law would not allow marriage. And there's another one who was martyred. Their name was Valentine, and that's the legend behind Valentine's Day. It's information can be found, a couple of different men with that name and things they did, but it's very hard to specifically say all this literally thing happened. But a lot of money will be spent in honor of Valentine's Day. Some of you will send roses. Red roses are just a beautiful expression of love, and they are often used. A new thing came up a few years ago. Rush Limbaugh and Hannity advertised them on their programs. Sherry's Berries. You can send roses that are strawberries dipped in chocolate. That sounds good. They're fairly reasonable, you know, and they supposedly arrive fresh and, you know, been kept cool and that sort of thing. Cards, candy, many of the cards and the candy will be in the shape of a heart to remind love comes from the heart. And many of our folks, 50 people went out last night to eat at John's restaurant. We had a good meal. We had good fellowship. Wesley and Olivia put together some games and things that made it an enjoyable time, and I appreciate all the work they did for it. And all of you coming, it was a great time. Usually Valentine's focuses upon romance. We know in the church that biblical love is deeper than just romantic love. And nothing wrong with romantic love. My wife and I have been married for almost 48 years. And I still love my wife, and my wife loves me because she puts up with a lot of things in loving me. So that shows me she loves me. Some years ago, I did research on Valentine's, and I did research on the heart and love and all that sort of thing. So I took a concordance, and I began to look up scripture dealing with the heart and dealing with love. I wanted to be very sweet and kind and positive about Valentine's and, you know, really speak well on the subject with great joy. So I looked in my concordance and I found Jeremiah 17:9 that says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" I said, "Oh no, I don't want to use that verse." People are all the time telling people, just follow your heart. No. The heart is deceitful and wicked. Don't follow the heart. Follow the Word of God and follow the Lord. Okay, I said, I'll go to the New Testament. I'll look up something. Look at Matthew 15 and verse number 17, I believe it is. "Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and cast out in the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man." So that wasn't the passage I wanted to use either, you know. The heart is the cause of murders and adulteries and false witness, all these things. So, the Bible's got a lot to say about the heart, and I thought, well, maybe I'll look up love. I'll find something better with love, you know. So I looked up love, and I found 1 John 2:15 that says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." I said, okay, I think I'll go to the old standby. I'll go to John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, we know God's great love is so much more than just what we call, you know, puppy love or romance or even deeper emotions of love that would be what a couple should have if they're going to get married. His love is sacrificial giving in its nature, and it's for another person's good. It's not loving somebody because they love us. It's not loving somebody so they'll love us. It is loving somebody because they have a need. And often they are not the person that is lovely in the way they do things, is how God loves us. It's easier for us to love somebody that's lovely. It's easier for us to love those who love us in return. But God loves the unlovely. God loves the undeserving. God loves the sinner. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So in our worst time, our most ungodliness, God loved us and gave his son to die for us, because that is the only hope of salvation is coming through Jesus Christ. And God's love sacrificed his only begotten son. 1 Corinthians 13 gives us a passage of scripture that defines the kind of love that God had for us in giving his son. And he teaches us there that we should love one another with that kind of love, and that we should love him with that love in 1 Corinthians 13. It tells us first about what love does in chapter 13. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity," that's the word, Old English, love, it's the Greek word agape, "I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." And then he begins to describe God's love or charity. It is long-suffering. It means God's love is long-tempered with man. God is patient. God waits on man. God knows what we can become, and God waits. In 2 Peter 3, the Bible tells us that God's long-suffering is so that we might be saved. God will bring the day of the Lord upon this earth. He will bring judgment, but he waits for that to take place in his love, because his love is long-suffering, so that we might be saved. It's only by the grace of God that society has existed to this day, so that we might have had the opportunity to be saved. And we pray that it will exist long enough for our loved ones to be saved. But there will be a judgment day. There will be a time of the Lord that will come upon this earth, and it will be too late for men at that time. God has waited for us that we might be saved. Oh, how sinful and wicked this old world is, and what God sees all that man does. But in his long suffering, he waits so men can be saved. God's love is kind. That means it's good and pleasant and serviceable to men. It is shown in his graciousness. It is shown in the undeserved treatment that he gives to us. God is good, as the song said today. He's good all the time. He knows those who trust in him. We need to be good neighbors like God's been a good neighbor to us. He told the story of the Good Samaritan who helped the man who was stripped and beaten and robbed and left. And he ministered to him, and he put him on his own animal, and he took him to an inn, and he paid the price for him to stay there, and said, "If he owes you more later, I'll come back and pay you the more." That's what God has done for us, and that's what God wants us to do for one another. Love like this behaves itself properly. It puts others first ahead of self. It treats people the way we would like to be treated. This love is patient. This love rejoices in truth. This love endures bearing up under the circumstances of life that we go through with one another. You love your family, but sometimes you want to choke them. Sometimes you get ill with each other. Sometimes you speak harshly to one another. And that's pretty normal, growing up together and living in the same house and stepping on each other's toes often enough. But real love will endure regardless of those circumstances. It doesn't change the fact that you love one another. It doesn't change the fact that you care about one another in a sacrificial manner. The Bible says love like this never fails, or it will never cease. It's always going to be the format for how we're to treat people. Things love doesn't do. It doesn't envy. It is not prideful. It's not selfish. It doesn't act unseemly, meaning bad behavior, and especially in the sexual realm. In Romans 13, the Bible speaks about love fulfilling the law. It says there, don't have debts you can't pay, but you owe a debt you'll never fully pay, and that's the debt of love. He says love, therefore, is the fulfilling of the law. If we love God with all our heart and soul and strength as we ought, then we won't take His name in vain. We won't worship other gods or images. We will honor Him in worship. These are characteristics that our love causes us to fulfill what God commanded. We don't live under it as a law. We do it with joy in our heart because we love God. And the reason we love Him is because He first loved us. And then if we love our parents, we'll honor them. If we have love for each other, then we can live next door to one another. And we won't commit adultery against each other. We won't kill one another. We won't steal from one another. We won't bear false witness against each other. We won't covet what we have one another. Don't covet your neighbor's wife or their house or their car or their animal or their boat or their camper. That's not in the Bible, but I added that. Or any other toys that they have. You can admire somebody bought something that's nice and shiny and new and pretty, and you can say, congratulations, that's great. I'm glad you got that. If you had that need, I'm glad that's there. Don't covet it, because if you have love for people, then you're glad when they benefit themselves, not envious of them benefiting themselves. So I love one for another that shows the world we're disciples of Christ. John 13, verse 35. By this will all men know that you're my disciples, Jesus said. Now John speaks much on the subject of love. Back in 1 John 4, he said, God is love. The sum of who God is described as being is that God is love. He said, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His only begotten Son to die for us. Verse 19 of 1 John 4 says, we love Him because He first loved us. I didn't love God before I got saved. I didn't even know how to love. I didn't know what love meant. Romance was all I thought about. And I thought about that a lot as a young man. And that was what was on my mind in the sense of love. I believe there was a God. I believe that Jesus died on the cross. I believe the church was the right place for people to go. I didn't know which one to go to. But I was ignorant when it came to really understanding the love of God or knowing God or anything of that nature. But when God saved me, all that changed. From that point forward, I began to think about what Christ had done for me in dying on the cross, in paying for my sins, in giving me eternal life, all the blessings that I have, all the things that are gone that ought to be gone, are all to the glory of God. And I love Him because He loved me. And I'm thankful to Him because of His love for me. Love's not about religion. Love's about a relationship with God. To love Him in return for all that He has done for us. Galatians 5 says that when you're saved, God gives you the fruit of the Spirit. And the first thing in the list of the 9 graces of the Spirit is love. To have that love that God has for us and we're to have for Him and for one another. God's given us His Spirit to enable us to love with might call it the quality or the God-likeness of love that God has. Husbands, you're to love your wife with that love, sacrificial, giving love. You're to love her enough to keep your mouth shut sometimes. You're to love her enough to overlook her faults. One fellow told his wife, I love you so much I could die for you. She said, I'm very tired. Do you love me enough to wash the dishes? Our love can be seen in the practical things that we do for one another and the sacrifices that we make. Ladies are to teach the younger women to love their husband and to love their children and to keep their home in the right way. If home is a little slice of heaven when the husband comes home, then he'll look forward every day anxiously to get home. But if it's a war zone when he comes home, the natural result of not wanting to come there will be the problem. Now, Paul spoke of four dimensions. If you want to turn with me to this passage in Ephesians chapter 3, he spoke of four dimensions of God's love. I'm staying on subject. Don't y'all like that? Now, I can't tell you why God loves me. Nothing good about me, nothing lovely about me. Nothing that would make me a prize for God to love me. But God chose to love me, and I'm thankful for that. And Paul speaks of these four dimensions. Look at chapter 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his grace, of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, the four dimensions, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Rooted and grounded in love, to comprehend what is the breadth. God's love is as broad as all mankind. God so loved the world. 7 billion people on planet Earth, and God loves all. He gave his Son to die for all, that all could come and be saved. Whosoever will may come, he says in his word. God's love reaches out to cover all of the souls of earth. It is long, its length. It's as long as eternity. God's been saving souls for over 6,000 years, and he's going to keep right on saving souls until he calls it to a halt. And we will be no longer a part of saving souls when he calls us to heaven to be with him, and we know that could be at any time. And from the things of earth, it looks like it's got to be very soon. God's love is as long as all eternity. There will be still God's love in the tribulation period as he deals with Israel to bring them to faith and to save the heathen of the world in a mass way, and yet multitudes will perish who will not be saved. So we should not ever encourage a person to put it off looking for any signs to take place. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time, the scripture says. God's love is as long as eternity. He says in his word that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years with the Lord is as a day. Time has no bearing. God's love, the length of it is for eternity. The depth of it, God's love is as deep as human need. It reaches as deep as the soul can reach. Man can go down in the ocean 6 or 7 miles deep or deeper. The Indianapolis sank off the coast of the Philippines, and the waters there are 18,000 feet deep, and that ship sank in that water. God loved the souls on the USS Indianapolis. He gave his Son to die for them. And God could save if one of those men was trapped in a place where he had air and he was sinking to 18,000 feet and he could cry out and ask God to save him and forgive him of his sins. God could save a soul at 18,000 feet deep in the ocean. I got on an airplane one time from California and flew back to Charlotte when I came back from Vietnam, and we were 35,000 feet in the air coming from California to Charlotte. That's over 7 miles high in the air. God could save somebody on that airplane. If he dealt with them and they repented, they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, they could be saved. From the depth of man to the height of where man could be, from the depth of the ocean to the throne of God, God's love is that broad and wide and that deep height to stretch to the throne the height of God's love, the four dimensions of God's love, to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. I don't know how we got where we are. I don't know how God's love has manifested itself to change us as He has, by His grace to save us as He has. We're going to have a few people follow the Lord in baptism today that have been saved at 5 years of age. Folks sometimes wonder, did a little kid really know what they were doing to receive Christ as Savior? Every one of my children were saved at that kind of age. Daniel reminded me this morning that he was in a panic about being saved. I pulled a car over on the railroad track and led him to Christ at 4 years old. Rebecca and Trey, Miss Cindy, led both of them to Christ in her Sunday school class at 5 years of age. I believe you all are still saved, aren't you? And you got saved at that early age. As I've told before, we interviewed the entire ensemble from Ambassador Baptist College of 20 young people studying for the ministry in Bible College, and I don't think there was a one of them that was not saved when they were 4 or 5 or 6 years old. Most of them got saved in their family's home with devotions, but some of them got saved in their local church or wherever. And God's blessings to us to be saved. I'm thankful kids can get saved. I'm thankful that when a young person realizes they're lost and need to be saved, they can come to Christ and be saved. Jesus said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." God's love has made the provision for us. His love is essential in its necessity that His love caused Him to give His Son to die for us. Christ's death was voluntary. It was substitutionary. He died in our place. It was sufficient, proven by the resurrection from the dead. When He stretched His arms out on the cross and the time came, He said, "It is finished." And He bowed His head and gave up His spirit, gave up the ghost, the Scripture says. You see, His death was sufficient. The debt had been paid. It was complete. It was practical to save us from our sins. It provides the opportunity for us to become the sons of God even by believing on His name. John chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. God's love is great. God help us to love each other with that kind of love. Husbands and wives, and families, Christian brethren, one another. It's not easy to love some people. But don't ever forget, God loved you while you were a sinner. If we got young people in junior church or somewhere that need to come, you can go get them, get prepared. And the girls go on this side, ladies and girls and men on this side. And we will gather. We will have an invitation and sing a song. Wesley, if you'll come and... If God's dealing with you and you need someone to counsel with you about being saved, don't put it off. Come on this first verse. We won't sing but one verse today. We're going to sing a verse to invite you if you need to come for prayer, if you need to come for counsel, if you need to come to join a church, if you need to come to be dealt with or counseled with, come on this first stanza. And then I'll go get my rubber pants on. And Wesley will maybe lead another song while we're getting ready to be baptized. And I could say a ton of things right now, but what I want to say most of all, thank God for His love. Let us love one another. Father, bless this invitation. Use it for either thine own honor and glory, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.